Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, and good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, everyone. Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation, and I'm just thrilled today to have with me a wonderful guest, Mike Reisman. Mike, welcome to Talking Up Music Education.
Hi, Mary. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, Mike, just get in real time, tell us where you're calling in from and what you do in your day job. Just give us a little background.
Well, I am calling from Westport, Connecticut, which is where my business is located and where I live and actually grew up and lived with my wife, Liz, for a couple of years. We lived in Easton, Connecticut for a long time. And my day job is the kind of in the sports and entertainment marketing business. I've been doing it ever since I started working with the LPGA for the first 3 years of my career, a long, long time ago.
But what we're going to chat about today is something that is close to both of our hearts, yours especially deep in your heart, and that is your wife, Liz Reisman, who regrettably and sadly we lost this last January. And Liz was a beloved member of our NAMM community, was on the board of directors of our NAMM organization, ran a great school music retail store there in Connecticut. And you were her very, very wonderful husband, companion, caregiver in the end. So first of all, let's reminisce a bit about Liz. And then we want to talk about the remarkable role you've played in helping establish the Liz Reisman Fund for School Music Education, the NAMM Foundation. So tell us about Liz, this wonderful person.
Well, Liz, she passed in January. You know, I'm terribly sad. She's just a wonderful lady, a wonderful human being. But, you know, what I've learned is to really lean into the things I'm grateful for and all the silver linings that I've discovered about her. I mean, I knew a lot about, she just always had this aura and this spark and this congeniality about her that attracted people to her. But I've been so inundated with things I've learned about her since she passed, and mostly from the school music community, from you know the people within the NAMM community, people in Southern Connecticut where we live in that community, telling me things about Liz that I kind of perhaps knew, but I certainly didn't appreciate. And she had this great love for music growing up in the Bay Area in Berkeley, California, as a flautist and was part of the Oakland Junior Symphony Orchestra. And, you know, continued her love of music into college, where she was part of the UCal Davis marching band, amongst other things. And so it's something that stayed with her for a long, long time. She was a very successful journalist for, you know, about 20 years, winning national magazine awards. But eventually, she reverted to her childhood passion, or, you know, kind of early adult passion of music. And so what I've heard about is not only, you know, obviously she's run a very successful music store in Monroe, Connecticut, but her passion to help others. And a lot of that was manifested through the work she did with all of you at NAMM, being on the board and lobbying in Washington on your trips to Washington, getting close to Congressman Himes in our district here in Connecticut, all around music advocacy and music education. And she just had a strong conviction that enriching young people with music was so important to their growth and development. And one last thing before I turn it back over to you, Mary, I spent one more evening with Liz listening to all the data about how music enriches children and helps to predict success in their life. I had so many nights listening to her talking to me about reams of data about that and research. And so she really had a conviction that it was not just a passion, but backed up by, you know, empirical data and research.
Yeah, you know, it's so easy to say as we reflect that she's a very special person, and she was such a very authentic person. You know, I reflect on my time with Liz too at board meetings, at the fly-in, at various NAMM shows, and you would stand next to Liz, you know, in a crowded room or crowded convention center on the floor of the trade show, and Liz would look at you and you just knew she was listening to you. And she wanted to know where you were at that moment in the things that she was remembering that you were still managing or dealing with, be it a work project or a life project. And, you know, I didn't know at the time of her passing and the reminiscence of her life, I didn't know that Liz was a flutist or a flautist, because I'm a flutist or a flautist. I always say, if you call me a flautist, it'll cost you more. But, you know, I didn't know that that's kind of where her life started. And maybe that was a connection that we also had. And she was also very interested in the environment, and she was an avid birder. Am I right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, there are a lot of dimensions to this lady. I'm kind of laughing here, and I got a big smile on my face as I'm talking about this. Not sadness, but a smile, just that we're doing this and remembering her, because, you know, there are a lot of great memories. But I'm laughing when you talk about she's always looking to engage, and when she was talking to somebody, that as she was listening and communicating back and forth, when I would be speaking to her, Liz, at home, if I took my eyes off her for 1 second, she was like, why aren't you listening to me? Because she caught me many times when I was being, you know, typical kind of ADD distracted guy. And, you know, she really helped me with that. But she was interested and interesting. And, you know, I appreciate you bringing up some of the other dimensions. You know, she loved birding. She was on the, worked with Connecticut Audubon to do all kinds of charting for, you know, birds in the area. And perhaps her biggest passion kind of later in life was around elephant conservation in Thailand. Liz made 4 trips over to Thailand, once with me, once with a couple times with Renee, her mother-in-law, with a group Renee had found, and once with our daughter Samantha, to go over and to work with the elephants and take care of the elephants. And, you know, there's a great video on YouTube, should anybody want to Google or search on YouTube for Liz Reisman elephant song or some keywords like that, where Liz is actually playing the flute for one of the elephants that she was responsible for. And the elephant is enraptured with the wooden flute music that she's playing. It's really a really cool video.
We'll find that video and we'll link it to our podcast and we promote it. Yeah, that'd be fun. Hats off to you too, Mike, for I know the years of Liz's illness and your devotion to caring for her. We all were so grateful for what you did for Liz. And you know, when it came time to celebrate Liz's life as part of that journey through celebration and acknowledgement and meeting the wishes that Liz had clearly articulated, you went on to establish the Liz Reisman Fund for School Music Education in the NAM Foundation. What was the moment of establishing that fund, and what do you hope the fund will accomplish in Liz's memory?
Right. Well, you know, I know it's one of the major points of the podcast to talk about this. I have to correct you on one thing, which is either I've established it or, you know, I, you know, had something to do with the creation of it. It really is, I am carrying out Liz's wishes and Liz's desires. And again, leaning into gratitude. Well, you know, the 2.5 years had its up and downs from when she was diagnosed to when she passed. We had a lot of time to talk about what Liz wanted for her legacy. You know, she was a realist. She knew that at some point the disease would cause her, you know, demise. But we talked about what she wanted in her legacy. And it was really important to her that her legacy was focused on music education. And, you know, we talked about setting up a fund. It was, you know, no question that she wanted to do it through NAM, an organization that, you know, she loves. And it was something that she wanted to do, to try to, you know, in some small way with the funds that we were able to afford, to kind of jumpstart a focus on fundraising, you know, within kind of the NAM Foundation for music education. And it's really a simple and sweet vision around trying to help people who may not have the benefit, the fortune, the wherewithal, the accessibility to gain the kind of music education and access to, you know, working with teachers and playing instruments, so that they too could gain the value of an enrichment of being exposed to music and having that kind of education. And we are blessed, and we were blessed to live in a relatively wealthy community. And it was just important for Liz to try to give back in that way. And again, just to reinforce, this is what she wanted. I am the vessel, if you will, to carry out Liz's wishes. And I'm damn proud to be able to do that on her behalf.
Yeah, well, thanks. Absolutely. And we have to say that very quickly, the fund was established. I mean, you executed those desires. And we've just awarded with those funds 2 grants that are going to help students in Connecticut. And you and I will be visiting those programs. you know, we're approaching the fall very quickly, so we'll be putting those on the calendar. We've awarded a project in New Haven with the New Haven Project for students right in the city, and also the reestablishment of the Music Ed program in Hartford, Connecticut, through the Save the Music Foundation. So, you know, we're putting those funds right to work with that intention. So it's been great to work with you, Mike, on that project. But, you know, that's also part of the project was getting you more connected. Now, Liz was on the front line working with NAMM directly and the NAMM Foundation and all this effort. And then we pulled you into the work of the NAMM Foundation, and you visited with our board this last July, Summer NAMM in Nashville. And I think you got a deeper dive into what the NAMM Foundation is doing. What are your reflections on that? And what have you learned? And did anything surprise you about what NAMM and the NAMM Foundation are doing?
Well, again, I'm smiling a lot. I'm reflecting back on listening and listening to Liz. And clearly, as she always accused me of, I wasn't listening well enough to her. Because I am amazed at the breadth and depth of what NAMM does. I guess I didn't fully appreciate it while Liz was alive. Probably she tried to tell me about it, you know. But I'm amazed. And I can see why Liz was so connected and so enthused about working closely with the organization. I see a real opportunity to not only, you know, try to drive people to contribute money to not only Liz's foundation, but there's, you know, these three other very specific funds in the NAMM Foundation, plus their general fund, all worthy. You know, I'm eager to get people to contribute so we can do more things and have more of an impact. But I also believe there's a real opportunity to have the retailers within the industry do more on the areas of marketing and fundraising that can kind of help to fulfill the vision of, and again, that not only Liz has, but many people have, to bring music back into the schools as funds are being cut and less people have accessibility. I sat in the board meeting and met some people, some who knew Liz and some maybe didn't, who are filled with energy and commitment to the foundation. And it was really inspiring. And, you know, the first time I can really get involved, I have to just say that up to now, Liz pretty much had me come to the store in Monroe to kind of collapse corrugated boxes that the instruments came in. But that's about all she ever let me do. So now I get to do a little bit more.
Yeah, well, that's great. No, we're really eager, and you and I will certainly sit down, and we have another NAMM Foundation board member that wants to work on this outreach and, you know, how we better tell our NAMM Foundation story so folks can really join with us in our core mission and our core vision, which is to create this music education opportunity for every child everywhere. It was wonderful to see you sort of filled with awe of all the things that are doing, kind of rounding out your picture of what the NAMM Foundation is doing, but then also your willingness to say, hey, I want to help with this. So we're going to put you to work, Mike. That's going to be great. I really need to learn from you about certain things like cause-related marketing and all the things that you are really deeply involved in. I'm eager to learn more about that.
Well, I'm kind of probably in the twilight of my career where, you know, I spend countless hours. So, you know, I'm looking for ways to spend some of my time, which will open up. And I love the fact for Liz and her family, this has come full circle. You know, her father, Harry, has been a musician all his life, and he's a musician out in California now and does a lot of session playing and record CDs. And her mother was always Renee was always very supportive of everything she wanted to do in music. So, you know, I know it's important to them, and my immediate family as well, and my kids, who, you know, kind of all want to rally around this. So it will be somewhat of a family affair as well.
That's great. I can't wait to continue our work together on this. So, Mike, as we wrap up our wonderful conversation, I guess I'd love you to talk to anyone that's listening today why they should consider donating to the NAMM Foundation, possibly consider joining you in helping with Liz's fund.
To me, it's quite simple. You know, we all see, for, you know, a variety of reasons, that funding for music education is diminished in our schools. I think we all see that in a lot of ways, people who are less fortunate than those of us who do have accessibility to music education don't get to benefit from the virtues of it. And I would just simply say that go in, and if you have any doubts, look at the research that suggests that people at a very young age who have the ability or the opportunity to be engaged in music wind up doing much better academically. They wind up doing much better in terms of emotional intelligence as well as that academic intelligence. And it is a bellwether or a foreshadowing of a person who's healthy both intellectually and emotionally. And so I'd like to just see as many kids have the benefit of that as possible. And more importantly, I know that was Liz's life passion.
Wonderful, Mike. Yes, you know, we say at NAMM, we all want to make the world a better place. And for us working together to have a more musical world, we're achieving that goal. I mean, think if every community there were jam sessions every Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and kids were going places and they were making music both in school and in their communities, this is the way that we're really going to create the next wave of the world we really want to live in and have for our children.
Hey, Mary, I would just add one last thing to the end here. Personally, I was a trumpet player. And I also played high school and college sports. I was a much better athlete than trumpet player. I was lucky to be a third chair trumpet in the orchestra or the play or the jazz band, all of which I participated in. But, you know, you hear so much about how in sport it teaches you how to be a good teammate and work with other people and set goals and reach them. And I experienced all that. But, you know, music is the same. It brings the same qualities and the same virtues. And you work together and you play together and you're successful together. And by the way, we're being really serious about it. It is so much fun. You know, it brings you opportunities to go places and travel and do things and be with other like-minded people. And, you know, all the virtues aside, it's just good fun. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of bring that up as well.
Absolutely. Yes. And isn't that what, after all, our day should culminate or be part of, should end with some good fun. We should put our head on a pillow and say, I had some fun today. So music is sure a part of that. Mike, I can't thank you enough for being part of our world at the NAMM Foundation, even through the, you know, the journey of losing our precious Liz, but carrying on. And we're going to start a whole new chapter working together through the foundation to realize our vision. And I thank you so much for being part of Talking at Music Education today. And I wish you a great Connecticut day, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you all for joining us here at Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.